So hi, good evening. Welcome to the first show. This is Sexendipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman alongside my beautiful co-host,
Luann Hernandez.
How are you, honey?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. It's a nice evening. We're like boiling in here.
Yeah, which is 110 a lot better than being
degrees.
Cold.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, and I have a confession. It's like just before we came in, my sleeve kind of undid
itself.
Yeah,
it's
and
just
it's just
so exciting.
There's a big chance that by the end of the show, I'm going to be topless.
Yeah, I.
So I suggest, if anybody, you know, they can just stick around.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
yeah.
happening.
Your shirt's coming off.
So, yeah, I'm losing my shirt. And we haven't even started.
Exactly.
So, and this is a big mic standing right here. So,
no complaints here.
No. We're good. So how are you, honey?
I've been good. I've been really good. As you know, the holidays have been good to me. Yeah. With my wonderful new love. So that's been exciting.
We're going to talk about it. Somehow.
It will always be incorporated.
Yeah, but you know, we're for the first show, we kind of want to smooth in and not scare anybody.
Right.
And so we suggested something kind of, you know,
easy. Nice little, ease your way in, move it up, get it.
Yeah,
nice
but later we're going to fuck you over really bad. So, we're going to what? Oh, okay. Is that good? Okay, so you want to present the topic today?
Right. The topic today is fucking, having sex, and making love. Is there a difference? If so, what is it?
That sounds simple.
Right? Super easy.
Yeah, of
super
course.
Easy.
Yeah, so let's, what do you think? What would, you're in love right now.
Yes,
so
it's very
kind
exciting.
Of sickening. So...
I know.
So you start and tell me what you think, because I have so much to say about these topics that it's kind of really... I don't know.
You could go on for the whole hour.
I can go on. So, yeah, and it's going to be shameful. So let's have you start.
Well, I was giggling because I'm like, fucking having sex and making love, or as I like to call it, my last weekend. So
that's terrific. So which part? Because I wanna let's start off and ask, what does that mean? I mean, like fucking we all know, hopefully.
We would hope.
Yes. Because I come across some people that don't, but we'll leave it for after. Let's start with the making love part. So what does that mean? I mean, it's terrible. Let's just hear. Yes.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking about what making love is to me. And it's like this, like, very emotional connection. It's like you're there in the moment with this one person. And you're just in the moment, looking in each other's eyes, just holding each other and caressing and being very gentle and sweet with each other. And you feel connected emotionally to the person in addition to the physical intimacy.
So looking at each other's eyes, that means you have to be missionary.
Oh, you could do it, cowgirl. You could look at each other's eyes that way.
It's kind of far. It's kind of, you know, off-site.
So, no, I mean, you got to make sure they're actually looking at your eyes and not missionary. Your boobs bouncing.
No,
but, you know.
Because I'm curious. So you were making love all weekend.
Well, making love, having sex, and really just fucking it.
This is where I'm asking. Because are they all... One thing, are they all the same? Because if you are saying that you are making love and fucking and having sex with your boyfriend, your boyfriend. So, what's the difference? I mean, to you, because I'm gonna severely analyze and rape it.
No, it's great, as you should. That's the whole point of being here.
I want to understand to you, as a woman in love.
Well, I don't think that you're in love at every single moment all the time.
Okay.
But there are moments where you have this, like, whether it's like a, for me, it usually when we make love, it's after we've had like a deep conversation where we're like, oh, like we have like a really close emotional part. And then I'm like, oh, and then we like starts like, oh, either we're already naked or somehow got naked.
You better be naked. I mean, for God's sake.
Well, no, I mean, if you're having that conversation, you don't always have conversations naked. Sometimes, but not all the time.
I prefer.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sweating. Crazy. Whoa. Thank God that my sleeve is like taking itself apart. Okay.
And then the having sex is kind of a little bit of like, okay, we still care about each other and we're still emotionally connected, but we're also kind of trying to get off. You know, you're
okay. Well, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, but hope for making love, you don't have to get off all the time. It's not necessarily about that for either one of us. And like, that was one of the things that I kind of, you know, I feel like is a little bit too much emphasis on is on both partners orgasming. And a lot of times, like, I will get there.
That's a very good start because you know that the proportions are usually...
I know. It's shocking to me. I'm like, wait, so I don't understand what happened. Like,
yeah.
So what were you doing?
What were you doing there? Could you repeat that? Okay. So you're saying that the climax is less important.
Yes.
To women in general, do you think?
No. I mean, for both partners, when we're making love, it's like the climax isn't the important part. It's really just that emotional connection being expressed physically, and it's not necessarily about getting there. At least, it's not about that at that point. When I'm having sex, I better fucking get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would get pissed. What the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
Throughout the hour, I mean, that I'm spending here.
Exactly.
Looking in your eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just establish the idea that to begin with, mating is probably the single most important thing that a human can do because we're spreading our DNA.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. So, you know, to begin with. But the question is, I want to like try and get down to the bottom of it. If it's really like, is it gender related? Is it really men prefer to fuck? Women prefer to have sex, to make love. Is there anything, you know, supporting this theory that men prefer short-term relationships, that men prefer to have more sex, and women prefer to have long-term or something committing? Is there anything to it?
I don't really think so, personally. I think there are some men out there that really want to be in a long-term committed relationship, and you know you always hope that you find them, you
know? Or you
don't. Right. And you know, there are a lot of women out there who don't want to be in a long-term relationship, and I feel like, right? But you know, I feel like the problem is when you try to make an apple an orange, you're never going to be happy. You know, when you try to force a man that doesn't want to be in a long-term relationship into a long-term relationship, the only person that's going to be upset is yourself. If you're a woman and you don't want to be in a long-term relationship, and then you're with some guy who's like, oh my God, but I love you. Life is beautiful.
So yeah, let's get down to that. Are men more romantic than women?
I mean, there's an assumption,
and people will be shocked, but there are studies that may show that men are more romantic than women, mm-hmm. and that men tend to fall in love at first sight. And develop all sorts of feelings and then be brokenhearted when it's not working correctly. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it totally does. I call them boys.
Boys. Oh,
up until they're 99.
I tend to fuck men, but let's call them boys.
I don't know. Some of the ones that we've talked about, it's like,
okay.
They're grown men looking boys.
Yes, they have a grown penis, but yes, okay, let's keep going. So,
I don't even remember what we were talking
about. We were talking about men being romantic. That's how pathetic it is.
This is why you don't remember. Giant dick that we were talking about.
I know. I mean, look at this mic. Okay.
Men are so much, I don't know. I think a lot of men are way more romantic. And I don't know if it's because they think that's going to get them laid. I don't know if it's because they genuinely are more romantic. But I know I don't do nearly as much to show my affection as male partners have done for me.
Okay, so this is something that you've came across
multiple times.
Your dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you didn't come across assholes that are interested only in having sex with you.
Never.
No, it just doesn't happen.
That would never happen.
No.
No.
Okay.
No. So, no. Oh, yeah. There are a lot of pieces of shit out there.
Okay. No, because we need to talk about it.
Yeah, and I find nothing wrong with it if that's what you're going to say that that is. If you're going to pretend that it's like, oh, no, like, I still want to fuck you, but, you know, I don't want to have any emotional connection with you, and then, but I still don't want you to fuck anybody else.
Oh, okay. That's, we're not going to go into the monogamy because I'm going to go burst out here.
Yeah, like, but I'm saying, pieces, like, call a fucking spade a spade. If you're fucking, it's fucking, and that's cool. But don't try to create some sort of emotional attachment to it. If you're out there and you're having sex and you're like, you know what, I kind of want to have something a little casual and fun and it's exciting and it's, you know, we hang out and we do stuff together, that's cool. If you're going to be making love, then you better freaking follow it up with actually having some sort of emotional connection, commitment, whatever it is that you want to do.
So you think people come into a relationship knowing or whatever, like a sexual situation, knowing that they want to make love or have sex or fuck? Do they know initially?
I think that everybody has their own perspective on what they think sex is or whatever it is.
And it doesn't really change in terms of who you're with?
I think it can, but I think for the most part, you know. Like when that piece of shit and I had sex the first time, we fucked. And I was like, I felt pretty bad about myself after. And I was like, and it wasn't because fucking was bad, but it was because there was this weird part about it after where I was like, I just kind of wanted to go.
You just kind of wanted to
leave. I'm like, that was it. But okay. Then it was like this kind of like drawing it out. And I'm like.
So you think when it comes to fucking, you really want to have
fine.
No.
Like, let's not pretend it's something it's not.
So women do that too.
Oh, I mean, men and women both do it. I think that's the biggest like mistake a lot of women make is they think that they can't fuck with no strings attached. Because you totally can. And I think that a lot of women can if they want to.
Well, you know, let's really analyze this. Because a few studies actually show, I'm going to go crazy on it and Darwinian on it, but a bunch of behavioral psychologists, evolutionary psychologists, would say that in general, you know, going in, for instance, the anthropologist Helen Fisher, who is a very known one, claims that we all go into, and that, you know, that is really being supported by empirical studies, mm-hmm. that we all go into some sort of a sexual scene in some, you know, expectation to have an emotional connection. And whether it is the male part or the female part of this situation, they both are aspiring to have something more meaningful, even when it comes to fucking,
right,
allegedly, or just, you know, having a one-night stand or something that is more subjected to short-term. We all kind of plan, that's what she says, that according to studies, that's what it shows, that even men showed even a more intense tendency towards it. Like, very similar to women, but it was kind of like 50% of the women hoped to have a relationship and 52% of the men. So what do you think? I mean, it's actually an interesting thing. And that kind of falls into place with the fact that men are more romantic.
Yeah.
And so is that society that actually created this situation where men are expected to be assholes and score? Because no, I'm using
society.
Terms.
Yeah.
I'm using terms that are being used in culturally.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go into the cultural aspect of it. But Dan Sabo wrote an article about the whole duality of the athlete. And he said that on one hand, you're expected that, you know, the whole frat boy society is actually encouraging you to score, and your score is her defeat. And if you manage to score, you know, with more women, you're actually more manly, and that makes you. But on the other side, you have this emotional conflict that you want to feel connected and close and maybe romantic,
right,
but you can't. You can't allow it because, you know,
because you'll be looked down on and kicked out of your frat. And
right. And people will say you're not a man, you don't have balls,
pussy.
You don't score,
yeah,
you're a pussy. Pussy is a wonderful thing.
I think that's wonderful.
I think
but,
so
you know,
too.
I hate the fact that men use it as like a way to insinuate that you're a less of a man. But I...
Well, you are a woman if you have a pussy.
Yeah.
But in general, so what do you think? I mean, is that like a cultural thing that we are pushed?
Absolutely. It's a cultural thing. You know, I feel like our society creates this weird, fucked up, like, relationship of men equating, like, sex with, like, conquest and, like you're saying. But in reality, underneath all of that bullshit that all these guys create is this little boy, you know, or a sweet, gentle, like, person that actually wants to be seen and loved. And I think the rabbi that was at your last talk said it right. Like, we all want to be irreplaceable to somebody else. And I think that this culture that is created where it's treating men, or it teaches men that, like, yeah, being a man is like fucking bitches all the time. And it's like, no.
Right, yeah.
No, being a man is not about that. And I kind of, I think the problem is that for whatever reason, it keeps getting perpetuated in not only with male culture, like male like culture and frats and, you know, athletes and all of that, but also with women. Like, we expect it too.
In what way? I mean, what do we expect? We expect to be treated badly?
No. Like what we were talking about. Like, if a man isn't well, like, schooled in sexuality or schooled in sexual, like, ability, we kind of make it seem like something's wrong with him. But why is that that way?
Like,
we all know my dear sweet boyfriend.
Okay.
And, you know, he was, like, really worried that when he told me that up until last year that he was a virgin, that that would turn me off. And why would he have that idea? Because women are turned off by that sometimes. And it's not just, and it's not just, like, it's not just men that are turned off by that, because a lot of women are, too. And that's...
By the fact that he doesn't have experience.
Right.
Is that, okay.
Yeah, and the fact that it's not more, like, oh, like...
I've been around.
I know what to do down there. Like, it's... Here's the thing. I was like, he knows what to do down there. I was like, fast learner. But...
That's terrific. He's being trained right now. Excellent. Yes, do a good job.
Thank you.
Please.
I mean, it would be weird, but I'm like, no, I'll show you what he does. No.
Get down to business. Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't, that's what I mean in that sense, is it's kind of like, if a woman isn't as sexually experienced, we're like, oh, well, that's fine. She's just saving herself and it's whatever. We create this, like, weird, sick thing.
So we are doing it as a culture, you're saying.
It's not,
as a Western society sees women still as demure, as the coy sex. It doesn't really matter that the one that screams in bed, damn the fucking neighbors.
Yes.
Is the woman. But okay, I mean, we're still, like, being looked at as the coy sex, the one that is not really interested. I'm not initiating, I just, you know.
Yeah, I'm just seeing what's...
Yeah, I don't really want to fuck. Please fuck me now.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a dual message.
Yeah.
Problem. Mm-hmm. And it's being, you know, as you said, perpetuated by society. And so we expect men to be the conquerors, to be the ones that are initiating.
That are seeking out the woman to, like,
Don't women really want to be banged against the wall and taken?
I think a lot of women do want. I mean, I know I do every once in a while.
All the time. Okay.
I mean, there are days where I'm like, whoa. Hey, let's just bring it down a notch. But
so there are days that you prefer making love versus having sex or fucking?
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of take your pick.
Exactly. And I think that
according to mood.
Yes. And I think in a healthy relationship, all three are at an interplay. Like, you can do in any one of those, and it's like you still care about each other after. You still love each other after. You still have a lot of respect for each other. I think the part where it's really fucked up is where there's no respect. And that is just
between the man and the woman.
Between the partner, yeah.
That's ridiculous to begin with. If you are in a... You're talking in a relationship.
Oh, I just mean in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's no respect being shared between the two partners, then that's really fucked up. But that's where I think the problem... You know, when we're talking about the frat boy culture, this disrespect for women, that's what it's, you know, it's about. It's like they're not seen as a person. They're seen as a piece of ass to be taken when they want and discarded. Huh?
A glory hole.
Exactly. Because it really doesn't matter.
I love being viewed as a glory hole. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, it really doesn't matter that there's a human being attached to that, you know,
pussy.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if there's a human being attached to that dick. It's like, you know, that's what it is. That's fucking. Yeah. I'm like, I would rather, honestly, if I'm going to fuck, sometimes I'd rather have a dildo. Less clean up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's much less problematic.
And now cuddling after it's done.
I know. You just put it back in your drawer and that's it. So, but seriously, I mean, the question is really when it comes to, again, to the cultural, to society, is the fact that we really making a separation distinguish between love, lust, this whole thing? We only have two words for that. I mean, love and lust. Kind of like limited as in society. But other societies and even, you know, in antiquity, they actually looked at things, they separated it. I mean, Plato called it eros or philia or, you know, agape. So these are three different terms. That should we talk about them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we all know that in this society, eros is considered desire.
Yes.
Something that is mainly, even though he didn't mean it. Particularly, he meant like a luscious vibe, you know, to life, towards life, a desire for life. But we, of course, as a society, turned
like,
it into
hey,
desire.
Let's
fucking. Yes, that's what it means. Okay, so if we say eros, it means fucking. But, and if we say philia, even though all the disturbing situations that we relate to in psychology and DSM are connected to the philia part, but it's actually just like a sisterhood, kind of a loving brotherhood, mm-hmm. something that is less connected to the sexual part.
Right.
And of course, agape is kind of a godly love.
Yeah.
Not
all consuming.
Yeah, it's and godly, and it's it doesn't take place in the bedroom.
Yeah,
it's not there. But the thing is, do we really, did we adapt this as a part of something that we need to hold on to? As to separate love from lust, because there are certain studies or researchers that actually decided that there is a separation between the two, that sexual or romantic love is, are two different things. I mean, that we can have all the sexual excitement in the world without being in love or feeling any sensation of infatuation.
Right.
Or we can have love that has nothing to do with sexuality.
Right.
What do you think? How do you feel about that?
I think that's absolutely true.
Which?
Both.
That is connected or no?
That it is connected. I mean, wait, what do you mean by connected? Which part's connected? That the
I mean, I'm having
a little hard time with that part.
The question is this. If the two are connected, I mean that lust and love have to go together.
Oh, I don't think they have to go together.
So they can survive.
They can survive separate from each other. But I think that in the way our culture is now, I feel like a lot of people want both. I don't think that it's sufficient at this point in our culture for us to be comfortable with only having lust and only having love or only having love. I think that especially a lot of young women and a lot of young men, they want both. They want to feel sexually attracted to their partner, and they also want those warm feelings to exist. You know, they want that.
So you
that
think
love.
That, and again, I'm going back to culturally related.
Yeah.
So you think in this culture, we tend to separate them, but they should exist together? I mean, it's like that's what we aspire for?
I think so. I think that it gets separated because we're fucked up.
Yeah, well, regardless, of course we are, and hopefully well.
Yes.
But the thing is,
I think deep down we all really want that. You want a partner that you fall in love with, that you care about deeply, and that you also are sexually attracted to, and every once in a while you want to throw up against the wall and fuck them until they can't move anymore.
The question is it possible? I mean, if we have that kind of partner that we kind of love making love to, and can we turn it into a partner that we can fuck, you know, mercilessly?
Well, I'm trying.
You let me know how it works for you. But I'm like curious because, you know, the two kind of seem like it is a problem to put them together.
Yeah.
To have them connected at the hip.
It's well, a good I don't question. Know about connected at the hip, more like, you know, center line.
Parallel.
Yeah, parallel.
Okay, parallel. Let me fuck you against the wall and then we'll talk about how we love each other.
Yeah.
Okay, so so Dorothy Tenev, in her wonderful 79 book, which was called Limerence and Love, actually called, she coined the term limerence, which refers to, and I love Tenev's theory, and I love the whole idea of limerence, because she actually decided that she needed a new term because she came across people that explained to her that they were aching over love, but it was different from the typical thing of like falling in love. She related to something that is more than infatuation or more than attraction, something that is like a collaboration of all these terms together. And what she said is, first of all, that lust and love are connected, and to be limerent means to be to have this sense of wishing, you know, for sexuality, but being in love as well. What she claimed is that the target of your limerence is someone that becomes this as soon as he occupies a special part in your psyche. For instance, someone that used to be your friend, all of a sudden he becomes like a more important factor.
Oh.
And then you know that you're like all walking around on air, consumed with thinking about it. You can't really eat or sleep or do anything. Then you know you are in a sense of limerence. And she, as I said, claimed that the two are connected. But there are other theorists that actually claimed differently, as I suggested before. The question is really, how do we feel about it? And does it really change when it comes to culture? So I want to give an example. First of all, I just want to give our number here. If anybody wants to call us in the future or today, it's 800-893-9562. And you can write us an email. You can go to the site drlimor.com. That's drlimor.com and hit contact. And, of course, we're waiting for you. You can write us. You can call us. You can send us your lust letters.
Oh, yes. If you read
stained in your sperm, letter. We're down. Whatever you want, we're here. And just we're waiting for your...
waiting for your approach. Contact.
So, yeah, these are our numbers and everything, and we're here. So, going back to it... There was a study that actually related to dismissive behavior in a relationship. The idea is, what do you think? And let me, before I give you the details, I'll ask you, who's more dismissive in a relationship, men or women?
Women are so much more dismissive, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that's what society thinks?
No.
Okay.
I think women think men are more dismissive, but I think women tend to be a little bit more dismissive than men do.
What are you basing it on? Your own experience or...
And watching people I know.
Okay. So I give you an example. Like women would be more interested in just having a fling. Is that the dismissive behavior?
I mean just dismissive in a relationship.
Okay.
Like I just meant like daily interactions. Like, oh, that really bothers me. Well, fucking deal with it. Like,
you know? That's nice. That is a nice attitude. Yeah. But okay, so the study actually related to how men and women go into a relationship, which actually meant, you know, that society assumes that men are more interested in, as we said, short term, less interested in, they're more dismissive towards a long term relationship and kind of taking it, you know, slowly and less intensely. But the study was actually, it covered many, many nations and all through the globe. And what they found, actually David Schmidt did the study, what they found was that in certain areas, women were by far more dismissive than men. But it was specific, it was very specific. I'm going to now, of course, expose who were these wonderful women that were so dismissive. And it was usually in this Eastern European region, which was Ukraine and Russia and these areas. And Ethiopian women seem to be much
They're
more,
like, we're done.
They're yeah, like, okay.
That was awesome.
Give me your
carry
dick
on.
And just carry on and disappear.
fuck you know, me
you're
and
done.
Carry on.
You can yeah. just leave. Yeah. So kind of that. But and also there was an additional thing that in societies where fertility was mostly important for both men and women, men tended to be less dismissive. I mean, so the claim is that your parental interest has a lot to do with the way you relate to a relationship. I mean, if you're interested in kids, you're more likely to be less dismissive towards your relationship. And if you're not, you're probably going to be a fucking asshole.
No pun intended. Both ways.
Pun.
Double entendre. Let's do both of them.
So yeah, so that's that was kind of the what they came up with. And there was another thing that was interesting that they claimed that the GDI, which was some sort of a scale that the UN put together, and I'm going to give you the exact... I have to because it's like it's so it is important. Okay, I'll go back to it. In any case, in general, in societies where women had more independence in terms of their social and financial aspect, mm-hmm. men tended to be more dismissive. And that makes you think because they theorized that it had to do with the fact that women see a long-term relationship as a commodity. And then when men realize that women have some sort of an edge and a tool against them because they can actually live their lives comfortably. They don't need them.
Like,
in other words, they don't need them.
That's like the Maureen Dowd book. Yeah. Are men necessary? The
answer
is no.
Oh, go fuck yourself. So kind of like that, men tended to kind of keep that commodity and not release that long-term relationship, which is an interesting thing.
You know what? Here's what I do. I tell a lot of women, I'm like, no. He does not have that commodity because you know what? In any long-term relationship, as a woman, you will be giving a lot more than he will ever give you. Like, it's inevitable. A lot of women end up taking care of their partner a lot more than a man will take care of her. And they do all this stuff at the beginning, and it's like, oh, look, see how much I care for you? Like, here's this, here's
disgusting.
That. Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the day, women need to be a lot more selective, and I think a lot more women, especially in our culture, need to be a lot more dismissive because a lot of these guys are a bunch of assholes.
What are you talking about? They're angels, okay?
Well, no, but you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of, you know, they think that they hold the cards, but in reality, the people that benefit from long-term relationships are men.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Of course. That's a given.
And so a lot of women, for whatever reason, they put it on this pedestal, you know, that this relationship, this love, this marriage. I'm like, no. This relationship is going to freaking take you to the ground. It's going to
bury you down.
Exactly. You're going to be weighed down by all
true.
Of this.
You know, the parental investment theory, you know what it means. You know what it says. So, well, let's just say it for our listeners.
Exactly.
Yes. So the parental investment theory claims that women, as you said, invest much more in this whole situation because we actually, to simplify, men inseminate and women incubate. Yeah. So we have to carry that fucking thing.
For nine fucking months,
then nurse it and him and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you do? So women have a lot at risk. And they tend to have such a prolonged period to actually deal with the whole thing that they have to be, allegedly, according to that theory, that they have to be more choosy in terms of which partners they have sex with and also how many of them. Well, men can go and fuck someone else every night and inseminate.
Inseminate.
I can't take this fucking, you know, term.
Yeah, inseminate.
It's like it sounds disgusting.
It sounds like what aliens would do. They're like, we will inseminate the woman now.
Yes. Did you swallow?
Let us see what happens. Where did it go? I don't know.
So women have a lot at risk. And then what do you think? I mean, is that true? I mean, it's like, as a theory, it's very nice. I like it. It's adorable. Thank you. But
I just think with birth control now, really, you can I mean, I think women should be choosy with the people they... I really think that...
Are women more choosy than men? It's a good question.
It is a good question.
Because I've met some women that are not choosy.
We think we're choosy, but we just keep choosing the real fucking assholes.
We love them.
They're like,
yes, they're
I don't
adorable.
Understand.
Yes.
Like, why doesn't he call me back? I was like, because he was a prick the first time.
Yes, you just didn't see that he's being a prick.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of women think that they're being choosy, but I don't think that they're actually making a conscious decision of what that choice is.
Okay, or there's another aspect to it. Let's just say that you're starting some sort of a, whatever, sexual, some sort of a connection, relationship with someone. And
endeavor.
He's obviously...
Let's call it an endeavor.
An endeavor. You embark
on this sexual endeavor. Odyssey.
Of an odyssey. I mean, he needs to really, like, kick it in if it's an odyssey. I'm sorry. I mean, mostly, it's not even a short trip. I mean, for God's sake. Okay. So let's say you embark on this endeavor. Okay. And the guy is obviously a piece of shit, but he has a nice dick.
Well,
you enjoy
what?
You enjoy
that
it.
Never happens.
Never, ever. It doesn't happen. You're right. And then you enjoy it. I mean, you enjoy writing it and everything.
Yeah.
And, but he's kind of, I don't know if he's clear about that he's an asshole or if he's clear about that he just wants sex. I mean, some of them are.
Yes.
Okay, let's just be honest. I mean, we love you guys. You're dicks.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to be honest, you have my respect. If you're like, I just really want to fuck, like...
No, but it's okay. I mean, some women, and I'm getting to it, because let's just say that the guy is a nice cock, and he's good enough to say that he wants to fuck.
Yes.
Okay? But I'm like being the romantic little girl here, and I'm saying,
I can change him.
Yes! Prince Charming is an asshole.
Yes.
I told you. He's like fucking incubates. He's fucking inseminates everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
He shows up at the right time and then he's like,
all of them is a bigamist, Snow White and Cinderella, everybody. Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, does that really make it into a thing? I mean, we as women have this romantic venture of jerking him off until he changes. Or something. I mean, we really expect it? I mean, does that really happen?
Does it ever really happen that you fuck someone and then they suddenly become Prince Charming?
I hope they're not. I mean, Prince Charming sucks ass.
Well, okay. They come, they're like, hey, I'm a real piece of shit and I'm just going to fuck you. And that's all I really want.
You promise?
I know. Right? It's like, if that's all you want, that's cool. But like, if you're, you know... If that's all the guy wants, that's cool. You just want to fuck? That's awesome.
Okay.
We can just fuck.
But do women really think that? I mean, or they just say they want to do this. And then they expect the men to change.
See, I think a lot of women expect the men. They're like, no. They have this, like, inflated ego where it's like, he will change for me.
Of course, because I'm the princess. I'm so perfect.
I am so
and I'm going to show him the way to love.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no. That shit... Men,
is that like a childish
say,
aspiration?
Yes, I think that's a childish piece of bullshit that we get fed.
Again, like, a cultural thing.
A cultural thing. Fucking Disney.
Oh, that's pathetic. Yeah. Pathetic. They're all whores there. I'm sorry.
No. But you know, I mean, it's a piece of shit. It's bullshit. Like, people usually will say what they want.
Yeah, well, sometimes.
I mean, or their actions will demonstrate what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And it's childish and really immature of someone to think that there's more, you know, that they can make it different. I know that he's just like, I'm just waiting for him to settle down and realize how much I mean to him. I'm like, no, bitch, you don't mean shit. Sorry.
It's true. And it's unfortunate. You know, there are situations where, you know, someone is maturing into... you know, being interested in something else. But mostly if someone is coming with this agenda, where does this ridiculousness come from that we turn fucking into an aspiration of making love?
That is a big...
But again, I'm going back to culture because we're doing it as a Western culture. I mean, I'm, let's say, an Eastern woman, but being raised as a Western woman because this is the, you know, the climate that I was raised in. But I can see where these things are, you know, where they emerge from. And actually, if you go into the tribal societies or Polynesia, I told you,
yes.
Next life, I want to be a Polynesian woman getting fucked against. No,
some
but like
palm trees.
A banana leaf being thrusted by 5 men that want to give me orgasms. That's all they're interested in.
You know what? Sign me up now.
I'm telling you, wishful thinking. But listen, yes. The thing is, in these societies, let's talk about Polynesia or these areas. Tahitian or Polynesian. The whole idea, you know, I have to like quote you on someone, one of the studies there that actually, it was fascinating because a bunch of them, of course, have like, information about it. And Marshall, one of the biggest researchers there, and I'm talking back in the 60s, he said there is no contact between the sexes, no rendezvous, no equivalent of our necking that does not culminate directly and immediately to copulation.
Yeah.
So to them, there's no such thing as making love, having sex. They're just enjoying each other. Where did we come from? Turn it into two separated aspects. And why? I mean, it's like there's no such thing. I mean, there's like.
Well, they also call it copulation. So that kind of.
Well, that's the researcher that calls it copulation. Yeah. Yes, mean, yes. But the thing is, my shirt keeps going, so yes. Hang in there. But the thing is that the males usually are starting to have sex around 12. And it's very accepted. Everybody's enjoying sex. I love the thing that they claimed. another thing, one of the researchers, Douglas, said that the foreplay actually involves breast fondling and kissing, clitoral manipulation and cunnilingus.
How sexy is that?
And
I want you to
mutual
fondle my
orgasms were usually achieved. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm
as
like
long
done.
As you don't call it breast fondling, I'm cool.
Like, that's, you know, yeah, tits. Is tits okay?
Tits okay. Maybe we should go with breasts.
Breast manipulation.
I know. Jeez, yes. What's next?
I know, but, you know, the fact that both orgasm, that's like rarity in this society. You know that.
It is, yes. It's kind of seen as sex for you, sex for me.
Yeah,
sex
and, you know, for instance.
You first, me then.
Yeah, and me not at all. Is that, look, I'm not going to talk about how women fake orgasms. That's for the next show.
Oh my God.
Yes, there's a whole show for that. But the thing, oh, there are a few shows for that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's an interesting thing because here we see a society where everybody's enjoying sex in the bushes. No, but seriously, they come back from like a fishing
van.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's all excitement and enjoying each other's flesh, and it really has nothing to do with the separation. There's no such thing as making love or having sex for the Polynesian person.
But how can you identify that though?
What do you mean?
How can you say that?
Because
that
you ask
separate. I mean, because all it says is that they're from necking. It goes from necking to copulation almost certainly.
No. You view their habits and, you know, you live with them. That's what, you know, an anthropologist does.
Right.
But the thing is, you see that there's no, and you ask. I mean, for instance, in our society, we have the tendency to believe that at least, you know, people that are monogamous or to some extent are interested in having like a long-term relationship with one person. We believe that there's a person for us, that he is the one. No. Okay, the whole thing. No. Yes, Hollywood and Disney. But for the Polynesian or the Tahitian, it's a surprise that my sex partner is not someone that is the one. I mean, everybody's the one because everybody's good and everybody wants to give you satisfaction. In fact, a male is really being, you know, humiliated if a woman didn't climax. I mean, get the fuck out of my bed.
That also banana puts leaf. A weird sort of thing on men, too.
What?
That if that his worth or his, like, sexual worth is dependent on another woman's ability to climax when maybe she's having a bad day. Maybe her clit's raw. Like, I don't know.
Her clit is fine. Leave her clit alone. It's fine. It's working well.
But I'm saying, like, that's also putting, like, that undue kind of pressure on a man to please a woman.
They don't have a pressure because the women are so open and accepting, and men are, you know, because the thing is, I think that because of society, because of the cultural thing, we are so clenched and so inhibited and so closed within.
Not here.
Not here. We're whores. It's different. Sluts. Sorry. That's different. What? It's not. No, we're good. We're not doing that much. But
no. I'm like, what? Our society's inhibited? No.
No, it's no, terrible. Yes. No, no. The Tea Party would like to wish everybody a good 1814. Okay, but the thing is, no, but seriously, so there's no question about the idea of having sex or making love or fucking. It's all just enjoying, you know, the whole situation, and orgasm comes with it.
I feel like that is making love, when you're able to enjoy both the flesh and the emotional connection. I feel
right,
like...
but they also fuck. I mean, they just, you know, they have like a thing that when men are coming from a successful fishing adventure, they should jump into the bushes and have extramarital sex. Right. It's like
but
a
it's
gift.
But it's not seen as like...
But seriously, it's a
Merry
gift.
Christmas, here's my pussy.
Here's my pussy, I'm ready for
Great
you.
Catch of the day.
I know. But really, this is what it says, you know, in their studies.
Yeah.
So they really kind of, you know, make it a sacred thing and make it like something that should be strived for.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's part of what it is, though. And I think in our society, we kind of have like a weird, we like to put things into like little packages. Like if, here's the thing. There are probably exceptions to that rule of like, if a man just wants to fuck you, he's never going to be like, it's just fucking, right? But
there is an exception to the rule?
I'm sure there are.
Okay.
I'm sure some exist in this world, but that is not where we
live
our lives.
In this world or our culture?
In our culture.
Okay.
But that is not where we live our lives.
Okay.
You know, we cannot live our lives like that's an exception. But I think that, yeah, in our society, we like to put people into nice little boxes. When in reality, like you're saying, it sounds like it's like a very open, free-flowing spectrum of sexuality and sex play.
Right.
And I feel like in a healthy relationship, that also exists.
You feel that it does exist.
I believe in a healthy relationship, there is a free-flowing type of experience that you're talking about, but with one person, like what you're saying, or not necessarily one person, but like, you know, you kind of have that openness to discuss one or more or whatever it is that you want it to be. And I think and I think that what you're saying that is going on in the Polynesian and Tahitian cultures is what you ideally want in a healthy sexual relationship where you're able to freely express yourself. And what I think is so fucked up is that we get into this like, I'm saving myself for marriage. I'm like, well, who's going to fucking want to fuck you then if you're like this like person that's all
that
uptight
is terrible.
And has a stick up your ass? I mean,
Put work with a stick. But the thing is really, I mean, yeah, we like to put people in boxes.
Yes.
But yeah, look at the whole society, you know, and everything. I go to the supermarket, I want to vomit because I stand at the cashier.
Oh,
and like every fucking magazine, oh, he cheated. Oh, he this. He's that. He's doing that. I mean, it's all about sex and the idea of sex as a commodity or sex as something that we use to, you know, lure someone in or hold them in or
I'd
do
rather
things
just say,
like that.
Hey, good job today. Here's my pussy.
Better job tomorrow. No, but seriously, I mean, can we really achieve that goal of being so open and accessible?
Oh, I don't think not in this culture. I think there's too much religion all mixed up in this, even though we're not supposed to have it all mixed up in this. You know, ideally, that's what we're not supposed to be going for, you know, religion and state connected to each other. But yeah, it does. It does.
Well,
and I think that's what the fucked up part is.
I think we have a lot to talk about, and I think that next time we are encouraging you. Our number is 800-893-9562, and you can write us on drlimor.com, drlimor.com. If you have a fantasy you want to tell us, we want to hear.
And we will read.
If you did something crazy, not a fantasy, you actually fucked well. Let us know. We want to hear.
We will celebrate your achievement.
Yes. If you have a romantic story, fuck off. We're not interested in that. Go to I'm a Lucky Bastard or fuckingliar.com. That's where you can send your idea. Yes. But for any other aspects, we are expecting you. And of course, we'll be waiting for you next time, local time, 8 to 9, every Sunday, Sex and Dippity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Woo-woo.
Bye.
Bye.